Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run, and I'm happy to be here with you guys. I'm always happy to be here. Well, I hope you can hear the show over the war drums being beat by our news media so loudly. They're prepping and massaging our brains for something, whether it's war with Iran or terrorist attack who may have a knee-jerk reaction to make sure we all blame Al-Qaeda. As I don't know if I've explained that, I call that the Bubba syndrome. With this new Bin Laden tape, it kind of is the equivalent of the Yemen bombing before 9/11, where they prepped our brains to know that it was Osama Bin Laden, so we wouldn't have too much time to speculate about who could have been behind 9/11. That's why Bin Laden's face was on the my local newspaper on the front page September 12, 2001, because they didn't need anybody speculating. I call it the Bubba syndrome because after the fact, I was listening to the Rick and Bubba show, and they played a repeat of what they were actually seeing and talking about on September 11th. And while the towers had not yet fallen, Bubba had said, you know what, this reminds me of something that Osama bin Laden would do. And it just really drove it home that, you know, they had already put this in our heads to make sure we knew it was a CIA asset, Osama bin Laden, who was created to be just that, a monster to blame it on. And so I think that's what's going on right now. But also, as far as the war drums beating for Iran, I don't know. It's like, how stupid do they think we are? But, I mean, that's what they did before Afghanistan and Iraq. They beat those war drums so loudly that when we actually went into those respective countries, it was nobody really thought much of it. It was like, well, weren't we already at war? Because the propaganda was so loud that, I mean, there wasn't much of a change as far as their perception because, you know, the weeks leading up to it, you would have thought we were already at war with Afghanistan or Iraq. So anyway, I hope you can still hear the show from all the war drums, and everybody should be cautious because I think that they are doing something. I can't even watch. I'm watching Fox News right now, FAUX News, and I rarely turn the TV on, but I did today just to make sure everything was cool or uncool. But it's like a pageant. It's like fake little just awful people. We just see their ugly souls behind their pretty faces. It's like absolute pageantry, and it's disgusting to me. But anyway, I mean, the news media was supposed to be like our branch of government. It was like the way we kept everything in check. It's so far gone from that I love this idea of what we're doing with the YouTube thing and asking the tough questions, and what Luke Radowski and others have been doing with, you know, putting a camera in some of these people's face and asking them a question and then posting it on the internet. And then, I mean, that's news media right there. That does the same thing. People are accountable to something that they've said that is on video. You know, they're going to be like, well, you said this, so what do you mean by that? I mean, that's the exact same thing as the news media. So let's do more of that. That rocks. I really think that is a good thing. Okay, what we're going to try to talk about here is something that affects all of us, cancer, and this epidemic of cancer. It's up, you know, I don't know what the numbers are. I know 500% was thrown around with the just brain cancer, 500% since 85 or something like that, which is just the aspartame numbers alone. But You know, it's quite obvious that everybody has cancer now. Everybody's getting cancer, and it's not a big surprise. We have cancers for all these environmental toxins that they're shoving down our throats. I mean, the people that know that, that fluoride and aspartame and any number of things, even the vaccines. I mean, we don't know what's those 500-some-odd retroviruses and vaccines. Besides the mercury, you know, we're talking about retroviruses, which are the cause of cancer. You know, a virus is the cause of cancer in a lot of problems, a lot of ways. So we have that. We have all the foods. We're not testing anything anymore. Somehow, long-term tests went out with I don't know what. I mean, doesn't anybody want to see the tests on what happens if you eat cloned cow meat? Does anybody guess that maybe we should test that on somebody before we just go ahead and eat cloned cow meat or genetically modified foods? You know, mixing corn with jellyfish and seriously, I mean, when are we going to have some long-term tests for that? I mean, there is any number of things that are causing cancer. The cell phones, the laptop computers, I don't know, everything. There is just cancer causing everything everywhere. Who knows what's in the chemtrails? Who knows what's in... I mean, we are being pounded. We are at war with, and we don't even know it. And so there is just a massive epidemic of cancer. And the big problem is that, you know, it cycles us through their medical system as well, and it empties our pockets before we check out. So it liquidates our hard-earned assets of all the stuff that we worked for all our life, gets put into the system before we die. This medical system where they, you know, do this ridiculous chemotherapy, which doesn't make any sense as far as I can tell. I'm not a doctor, but man, that doesn't make any sense from what I've seen about it. And I think that one would do well to really look into that and to look into other opportunities. And I think that they've even made it illegal in some places to refuse their treatment, which is really messed up. I mean, where you can just refuse it. I think not having any money would probably be your best way out. My point, where I'm going with this, is that I think that there's a huge correlation between the causing of cancers. Now, it's important to realize that the cancer is being caused by the people running our country, running our world, the globalists, the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. And it's also important to realize my personal view of how if you go up to the very, very top of that pyramid at the rituals that are happening up there, the marching orders are getting passed down from emissaries of the devil himself, who's advancing a one-world government and a one-world religion for his own purposes. And they are doing it out of fear, and there's a few other motivators as well. But he's at the top. He's the one telling them what to do, what to put in their water, what new things to do. I mean, and it's a diabolically genius plan in a lot of cases. And a good deal of atheists are mad at something. If they were honest, you know, I mean, I know that a lot of them are just intellectually seeking stuff, and a lot of them intellectually seek because they are mad or they have anger. And I think that a lot of the roots of this anger is cancer. I mean, I mean, just to really pinpoint it, it's been killing off parents and kids and everything. Cancer is the root of a lot of hatred of God, and therefore people looking for something that you know, like that. You can prove. There's provable evidence, and about intelligent design and how Darwinism is not sufficient at all to explain what we're dealing with and what we know now. And you can prove that to people, but if somebody is an atheist for a reason that they're not stating, then you can't fix that problem with evidence. And so I've noticed a lot that you come to a brick wall with somebody when you have shown that that's not right, this is right, there is intelligence, and then you have to hit the point where it's like, okay, look, I'm mad at God. That's what it is. If there is a God, I'm mad at him. That's why I'm not, you know, doing whatever. I mean, that's the... And if you look at it like as a plan of the devil's, it's an amazingly good plan. How many people can he convert by spreading physical cancer to people? And it really is a chain reaction situation, too, because if you can get somebody mad enough at God and the devil can have a good foothold with them, then he can do all kinds of things with their life. They can get them involved in all kinds of interesting things and start building up his empire as well. And it's really happened, and I think that as cancer grows, so does the devil's power because of that chain reaction. And there is a pride issue associated with this idea that God, they're mad at God because somebody in the family or themselves have cancer, because the devil can whisper in your ear, and quite honestly, there's a lot of horrible things that are associated with cancer. So people are like, "What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. I've been good. Okay, look, I understand that there are awful diseases being dealt with now that have such negative feelings associated with it that there is no hope, and I don't know how I would deal with it. I can't say that I don't know. I sympathize with it, but you have to understand that it's not a product of God's judgment on you or anything that you did. It's a designed thing to make you turn away from God, the one person that has the power to save you. I mean, it's a dangerous game. There is a way out with faith and prayer, but people won't. And, you know, it's not always the case. I think it's a very tricky subject, and it comes back to the conundrum of why do bad things happen to good people. And I think that if that's your main contention point, why do bad things happen to me? Why did this happen to me? You have to understand that in the universe that we live, if there was going to be any option of free will whatsoever, if the world was going to work as we know it, to where free will, which I will argue is the reason for every tree you see and everything, was put here so that we could exercise and see what happens with our free will. So it's the universe focused around our decisions, and the universe can't have us have an equal opportunity decision unless there is cause and effect. If I smoke cigarettes, I'm going to have to deal with the negative effects of it. Or if I do anything, that there has to be a chance for cause and effect. And so therefore, the universe isn't... how do I explain this? The laws of nature were in place. They are a set thing, and I think God's laws were warning you of this. I mean, I can't count all of the times that he's saying sin leads to death. He's not saying that he made it so every time you sin you get punished for it. In fact, I think that the reason that the laws were made in some cases were because they had a negative reaction. If something would kill or harm you in any way or lead you away from God, God called it a sin so that you wouldn't do it. So, look, this is what I don't want you to do. Don't do that, okay? Because if you do, this will happen. It's not because he said, don't do this, and if you do it, I'm going to punish you. He's saying, wow, that'll hurt you, so don't do that. You know, I mean, there's a cause and effect. He warned us of it. And I'm not saying that you sinned in order to get your cancer. We're in a new age now. We are in a thing where we are being attacked from every side by, you don't have to call it the devil, you can call it the New World Order, whatever you want. But the New World Order wants a one world government, one world religion, ruled by one person too, you know. So at the very least, them and the devil have the same, you know, see to eye to eye, and it may be just a coincidence that they are worshiping the devil, or, you know, having blood rituals and the Bohemian Grove and all that stuff. It may just be a coincidence, but you can believe that if you want. But they are giving us cancer, and they want us sick, and they want us dead, and they want our money through their system. So, and as far as why do bad things happen to good people and all this stuff, it's important to note that that was never part of the deal. You know, a comfy, cozy, wonderful life with no pain and no struggles is not part of the deal, and I suggest that you probably wouldn't want that. Pain and suffering is something that you can get everything out of. Without it, your growth is, which is what the intention is here, for us to grow into something higher and better than what we are is done through that a lot of times. We were guaranteed nothing in this world. In fact, Christ said, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be killed if you do what I do. If you really do what I'm doing, they're going to get you. I mean, it was pretty clear that your life was, and the saving of it was not part of the deal. All these Christian martyrs, you know, burned at the stake and everything else, you know, it wasn't part of the deal. Comfy, cozy life. There was a lot of people that had a lot of suffering that were a lot better than you before you. And look, but that doesn't mean that we aren't guaranteed the most amazing thing, though. I mean, our kingdom is not of this world. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has comprehended what God has in store for those who love Him. Our kingdom is the next world. The people that have done the most for this world are the ones that have thought the least of it. And you have to unplug from it. You have to really stop caring about this stupid stuff. I mean, don't worry about your finances and what's going on TV. There's so much dumb stuff that is keeping us from the most important topic in the world. And that is that the creator of the universe is actually concerned with you and is very concerned with you and loves you and is sitting there tapping his foot waiting for you to embrace him so he can start you on a journey of enlightenment that is absolutely incomprehensible to the people that haven't taken that step of faith, because there are blinders, spiritual actual blinders on you that prevent people from seeing what God has for you. God's will is your will, but you literally, it's impossible, literally impossible for you to see that until you begin the journey, and you do that by a leap of faith. That's why it's a leap of faith, because you don't know at that time, you know, that it's what you want, and that it's such an amazing, wonderful journey that is everything that you needed and fulfilled, but you can't see it. It's not physically possible for you to understand that. You can get glimpses and tastes of it, maybe from seeing somebody else that has it, or saying, hey, I could think, you know, I don't know why that they feel that way or think that way, but you know, but you can't really know it until you begin this training session that he has, that he starts with everybody that makes that confession and proclamation. So, and don't forget, some people were just so hard-headed that it took them nearly dying, or in fact getting a terminal disease that they will die of, to realize this and to do it. And that's worth it. I mean, it's worth it to lose your life and to gain the next one. I mean, it is there. That's a good trade. You know, if it took that to get through to your hard head, then that's what it took. I mean, it was what was needed. God's economy is perfect. You know, and don't forget, I mean, once you join this kingdom, then you have a audience to the throne room of the universe. I mean, you get to talk with and ask and make requisitions to the creator of the universe. I mean, you get to ask something of a entity so powerful and benevolent. It's amazing what you can do through faith and prayer, it's a good thing to have access to, because and that's where a lot of religions and people seeking a lot of powers through the occult and everything else come from. It's from a desire for control, to have some security in life, to have something that they can touch and control, to feel like they have, you know, some kind of security. And hey, you know, that's security, but you know, it's not the selling point, you know, in my opinion. All right, well, I'm going to take a quick break then and play some Macy Gray. This one's called I Can't Wait to Meet You. Very apropos subject matter.
This is Revere Radio Network Tampa.
Misery. So I got you some cigarettes. Shona?
No, thanks. Do you have any fruit?
It has purple stuff inside. Purple is a fruit.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. Where will it be? North Korea? Iran? Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge. Yo!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe against Cobra and Destro, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air. G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe's there.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra. Ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
All right, we're back. Thanks for staying with us. That was Macy Gray before the G.I. Joe. That was Macy Gray and her song, I Can't Wait to Meet You. And the G.I. Joe thing was kind of a tug behind the ear to Frank over there at faithspeak.net, which is a site that he set up. It's like MySpace, but for Christians kind of into the things that we're into. He also does a podcast very similar to this one. It's more news-based, which is good because this one isn't news-based really at all. But Frank's is, and I think it's called Salvation Revelation, and Exposing the New World Order and all kinds of good stuff there. But you can find links to it at faithspeak.net, and I have a page over there on FaithSpeak, so you should check it out. Sign up, get yourself one. Okay, something I actually posted on as a blog on FaithSpeak is a thing about intelligent design. It's a movie that I found that I'm just thrilled about. I think it's one of the best truth movies out there on the internet. And it really is a truth movie because we're in some serious trouble here. They are trying to make it illegal to talk about this, and this is such a incredibly produced movie, and it really helps you lock down really what the issue here is. And it's called Intelligent Design: Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. You can find it on Google Video. Just type in intelligent design or, whatever you want to, unlocking the mysteries of life or whatever. But if you do type in intelligent design, you also see right under that it's Gerald Schroeder. It's some movie of him. It's really good, too. But wow, this movie is amazing. The reason it's so good, or the reason I like it, is, number one, it's genius. It's incredibly well produced and using only like the top scientists in the field and really discussing some things and showing you how it illustrates it so well. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I knew about intelligent design that I could tell you about and probably convince somebody of, but I didn't really make it all. I didn't visualize it as well as this movie presents it. There's a lot of computer graphics and stuff that really, really make you understand what the issue here is, and it really illustrates the problem with Darwinism very clearly. This is something that you could give to somebody like that is a diehard, evolutionist, that they can't have a rebuttal to this. It's impossible. The reason, and the only rebuttal to this, is really made it more clear to me also, that you can't, they're not even going to be able to say the aliens just intelligently designed human beings from chimpanzees, a la Sitchin. And I think that they will say that, but I think that at some point they're going to also have to say that they put the DNA molecule here in the primordial sea, because there's no place for this DNA molecule to come from. I think part of the future deception of these beings, aliens, whatever they present to us, will be that they presented this DNA molecule in the primordial sea and sparked the initial evolution, because the evolution of evolution is that it has to accept intelligent design as a matter of intellectual, scientific fact. It has to be, it's just a slow process. It took a long time for geocentricity to really get out. It wasn't an overnight thing. It had to spread around, and a lot of people had to see the evidence. It didn't happen overnight, and that's what's happening with intelligent design. I'm not saying people are just going to all of a sudden turn into Christians. Don't get me wrong, but they're going to agree with intelligent design. But until they can publicly announce that science believes in intelligent design, there has to be a viable explanation that doesn't include God, and they will do anything as long as it doesn't include God, and that will probably be aliens seeding it. That will be just scientifically okay. Oh, good. We have a way that we can finally stop singing this stupid song that doesn't make any sense. Again, if you disagree, please email me. My email is chris@conspiracyclose.com, chris@conspiracyclose.com, and tell me where I'm wrong. Let me know what I need to correct, and I will do so. In fact, I got a correction from last show. I don't know if it's much of a correction, but I want to go ahead and say it. I was talking about how prayer affects the molecular structure of water, and and how that may relate to giving thanks to food and even the sacrament of the process of the of eating the bread and drinking wine, grape juice. And anyway, the correction is that I was talking about 1 Corinthians when I was citing that Paul said to the church that, you know, for this reason, and I cited that, you know, they were doing the sacrament wrong, and for this reason, many of you are sickly and some have fallen asleep or something like that in 1 Corinthians. But just to be clear, what they were doing wrong with the sacrament in that verse was, from what I can gather, they were all coming together and having these meals at church, and it was taken away from the actual idea of what was supposed to be going on with the sacrament and the giving thanks of it. I think that they were getting drunk and, you know, partying and stuff in place of the sacrament when he's like, you know, you could eat at home. You know, I think that I don't think it really negates anything that I was saying. I think when I quoted that verse, it kind of seemed like it was out of context and saying, look, you know, here is evidence that it will make you sick. And when Paul say, and, you know, for this reason, many of you are sickly and some have fallen asleep. They apparently were doing the sacrament wrong, but for that reason. Okay. Yeah, I meant to do that up front. I used to do corrections all the time at the beginning of every show, and I've been falling away from it. It's not that I'm not wrong a lot, but it's just that, I don't know, I guess I don't know why I haven't been doing it, honestly. But I need to get back into it. And again, you can help prevent that if you want to support this show. The way that I ask you to do it is to pray for me in any way you see necessary, but certainly to prevent my tongue from doing any harm, from giving out any false information or to be led astray by misinformation or anything like that. So your prayers is how you support the show, and I appreciate those of you that do. I can definitely tell it's working, and I'm growing and understanding stuff that I never really would have probably done if it weren't for your prayers, and I'm sure that it's directly a result of them. I've said before that you can go through the archives of this show and just see the growth of my understanding of a lot of things, and it's just been because of that. I'm positive of it. So thanks again for that, and email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com if there's anything I can do for you. Okay. Let me just mention some of the things if you wanted to check out some interesting debates going on. One, I've been debating a guy named Troy, who's a very interesting guy on MySpace, on my MySpace page. He's a very intelligent guy, a lot of similar stuff. He's very versed in everything the New World Order and the Masons and everything else have been doing. He's a very worthy debater, and we've debated in the past via MySpace blogs and comments and so on. So you can check that out at my MySpace page, the Conspiracy Clothes MySpace page, myspace.com/conspiracies, or you could probably do some sort of search for Conspiracy Clothes in MySpace or whatever. And the blog section, you'll find some of our debates. It's Troy is his name. Another interesting debate to check out is on the InfoWars forum. There was a debate between I and a guy named Lost Dog about some very interesting contradictions in the Bible, and I really am glad to hear these different contradictions, because as Chuck Missler says, if you see a contradiction somewhere, celebrate it, because there's amazing insight somewhere in there. You just have to learn more about what's being said there, and I got to tell you, in my experiences so far, that's exactly right. And I like to hear more contradictions, because I don't want to be caught off guard. You know, if I'm running around like, I know the answer to everything, and then somebody says, well, what about this? And then I'll be like, you know, I have no idea. That sounds really like a contradiction, and it sounds like you're right. And plus, you know, I'm not really good at debating somebody, like, probably. I'm more of a, like, oh, my goodness, that does seem like a contradiction. Let me go research it. You know, if somebody said it straight up, I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, that does seem like you're right there. So I do want to know them in advance. I'm trying to collect all contradictions, you know, to hear them, so I can learn to see, you know, if it is, because I'm concerned about it, and also I really just want to be strong in the defense of it. Particular contradiction that was being debated on the InfoWars forum was concerning Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, some of you here will not pass until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. A lot of people interpret that as that Jesus won't, that the Son of Man's return will be within the lifetime of the disciples. And how that got fulfilled 6 days later is very interesting in the Transfiguration, where Jesus took two disciples and his brother up to on top of a mountain to see something very interesting called the Transfiguration. Now, this verse almost single-handedly is what is, if you were listening to last show, one of the problems that I had with one of the main apologetics guys was he held this view of, I guess you call this amillennialism. I don't know what the term is for this one, but held that everything, or there's so many different versions of this belief, but basically that prophecy concerning the last days and everything was fulfilled by 70 AD, and they used this verse as proof for it, because my goodness, it's a contradiction if Jesus said this generation, you know, or actually that's a different part when he says this generation, but that some of you standing here will not pass until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so that's an interesting thing to check out. But I will warn you, that particular debate was a little frustrating, because it took a long time just to, the guy kept saying, well, what Jesus said, till every eye sees the Son of Man's return, you know, is what he kept saying it says. And that, you know, if Jesus said, those who are standing here won't pass till every eye sees the Son of Man's return, then he's right. But what was actually said in Matthew 16, verse 28, is, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay, you've got to define the term coming in his kingdom, because that is not the same as the Son of Man's return. And you also have to understand define what the kingdom is. What's the jurisdiction of Christ's kingdom? Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the reason that that's interesting, Chuck Missler actually postulates the idea that there are some very literalist Jews that take the term not that shall not taste of death as something that is referring to the Sabbath day, and so it has the very literal connotation of, when you say that some standing here shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, would be less than a week away that whatever he was saying would happen. Which is interesting, that the very next line is the first verse of Matthew 17, and when it says 6 days later, you know, talking about when they were going up the mountain to see the Transfiguration. Which, you know, why would the Holy Spirit edit that and put 6 days later there? I mean, the Holy Spirit, again, God's economy is perfect. It's only what needs to be there. So, and read about the Transfiguration, what's going on in there. I'll just read it to you. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Okay, that's hard to read. And was transfigured before them. And the word transfigured is used two other times in the Bible, and both other times translated as glory, glorification. Basically, it looks like Jesus is revealing his nature and showing it to them in a way. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And again, Missler postulates this is sort of a board meeting here. And then Peter, who oftentimes puts his foot in his mouth, says unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here the tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. This is not a good thing. Peter just kind of spoke. And it's funny to read how the disciples, in other writings of this, when they quote Peter saying this, they always say something to the effect of, and Peter didn't know what he was saying, or, and because Peter was, you know, stupid, whatever they put it, I should show it to you. But it's definitely like all the other disciples when referring to this story, some of which were they didn't see it actually happen, they were just writing of it, but they knew that Peter had said this because he was you know, Peter. And he says, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadows them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And this is translated, or sort of kind of understood, that Peter was wrong for deciding to put Jesus, make three tabernacles, which is something that they were used to doing, but to make these tabernacles for them and putting Jesus on equal footing with Elijah and Moses. Two representations of very interesting in the symbolism of why Elijah and Moses and what they actually needed to be there for. But, you know, if you look at this as, I mean, I'm just kind of guessing here, but, you know, I perceive the universe as like a 10-dimensional thing, three of which or four of which we deal with, and the other six or more are something that we don't, on average, see into. And maybe the opening into these other dimensions is part of what is being referred to here, is what they're seeing. What they're seeing is obviously something into a place where Jesus is more than a man, and that a place that both Moses and Elijah can exist. You know, it is possible that what is meant by see the man, Son of Man coming in his kingdom, to understand that phrase, which I don't, but I bet if you did dig into what the literation of coming in his kingdom meant, I bet you would find something to the effect of what they're seeing is partially, you know, part of his kingdom and what he looks like in his kingdom. And you know, I don't know. But it definitely doesn't mean that you can't make it mean that, you know, Christ's return won't be until, you know, while they're still alive, because you have to make all these changes and nothing works. And that's why there's 100 different versions of it, and it all came from one guy, you know, that really set up the whole system. I got to figure out what the name of that belief system is. But, you know, again, I don't browbeat anybody for this stuff. I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about what is going to happen in the end times, and people that are well-meaning, guided by the Holy Spirit, people have very different views about the rapture and everything else. You know, like Chuck Missler says, you know, we'll explain it to you on the way up. You know, it's not a really big deal as long as you just, you know, keep faith. You don't have to know it. It's not a breaking point. But there are some eschatologies that I believe are put there in place by, you know, evil intent. Because if the fruit of the eschatology is taking away from the truth of the gospel message, I think a good example of it is the Seventh-day Adventist. My personal view of them is that they were such a good church on a really good path, and for that reason were singled out by the devil with this Ellen G. White character. And Ellen G. White said it straight up. She said, "What I say is either of the devil or of God." You know, there's no in-between. It's one or the other. I mean, at least she was honest that it could have been the devil that was telling her all this stuff. Because what was important, and without going into this too much, and I don't want to browbeat the Seventh-day Adventists because they're so good, but their whole thing is based now on works because of this eschatology they hold. And they know so much about the book of Daniel and stuff, and that's a very interesting debate to have with Seventh-day Adventists. And if you are a Seventh-day Adventist and you want to roll about this, please let me know, because I got some very interesting stuff for you. In fact, you don't have to contact me. You can actually go to, I think I still have it there, on my Nowhere to Run, what is that site called? NowhereToRun.info. There is a few things I can I upload some shows there. You can get some stuff there, but I don't have very much control over the site. But you can go to NowhereToRun.info, and there is a section in the archives doesn't have anything to do with the months. It's another section that has two audio files there that are just specifically for Seventh-day Adventists about the book of Daniel and the 70 weeks and all that stuff. And there is a very important thing that you will miss if you're listening to your preachers that is incredibly crucial. So please check that out if you do, just as a matter of hearing both sides of the story. You know, let me edit this in here for Seventh-day Adventists. It's NowhereToRun.info, and go to the archive section, and then you'll see X Audio, and there I'll put some commentaries on Daniel 8 and Daniel 9 that are very, very interesting. I'll also put, since I'm talking about this, I'll put some other stuff that you may be interested in on that site. So go there if you are a Seventh-day Adventist or if you know a Seventh-day Adventist. It's very important stuff. Okay, let me shift gears here real quick and talk about what's going on with the food supply and how worried we should be. Okay, it's gotten to a crazy level of what we need to watch out for. I'm serious that we got to stop eating what they're giving us. It is dangerous. Again, there is no test for what happens with this genetically modified food. America and Canada are one of the only countries in the entire world that they don't have to tell us if our food is genetically modified. So the best thing that we can do is know the general types of food that are genetically modified and in general, and to avoid them, because there's no label that says this is genetically modified, this isn't. I think for the most part, organic food is not genetically modified, but who knows how long that'll be. And the meat is cloned. There is cloned meat in your supermarket shelves right now, and they don't have to tell you that either. Okay, so you have to be really, really careful of those two things. Like, for example, rice is something that if you didn't, I mean, apparently Arkansas, which is one of the major producers of rice, this is all, and it's probably spreads into Missouri and a lot of other producers of rice in the middle country, but they apparently didn't want genetically modified rice, and that was something that they, said that they weren't going to do. And then it got contaminated a few years ago where one grain and so many was found to be genetically modified, because that's the nature of genetically modified food. It spreads, and once it spreads, you can't get it back. I mean, there is a point of no return with genetically modified food. And so all the rice now in the middle of the country is contaminated with GM rice. And we don't know, there's no, again, no long-term tests. We don't know if it's safe. They say that they know it's safe, but let's see the papers. Let's see the long-term, studies to see if it is. Because you just don't go crossing jellyfish genes with corn and draft genes and stuff. I mean, this is crazy. And we don't know what's going to happen with it. So anyway, some of the rice, like in California, produced in California, is not. They're saying right now it's not contaminated, so you can get rice like Uncle Ben's rice, I think, is out of. But it just goes to show you have to be very, very aware just on the GM front. Here's another thing that I wasn't too cautious about until recently that I think that we should all be very cautious about is fruits and vegetables. How dangerous are they with the pesticides that are being used now? It's just crazy. They're using, a lot of farms are using these just experimental pesticides. Pesticides were never good. They're definitely in the crops. It's a huge amount of poison in your fruits and vegetables. And with knowing what we know about these groups, whatever they get a chance to spray on their crops is probably not going to be good. And there's very little tests, I would assume, unless I've seen them myself. It's something that could be just slipping into our fruits and vegetables, and if you're eating your vegetables, you're getting a dose of whatever they want you to have. In addition, they're trying to get fluoride, to spray fluoride into your vegetables so it's soaked up in the water, so your teeth are, so we have to worry about that. We have to worry about the genetically modified and the fruits and vegetables. I know a lot of squash is genetically modified, a lot of different things. You have to know what they're genetically modifying. Because again, no test. Now, obviously, we need to avoid aspartame stuff in Diet Cokes and the vaccines and fluoride in the water, and high fructose corn syrup is genetically modified. That's how they get those enzymes. It's a very, very technical process to create high fructose corn syrup. Apparently, corn syrup is okay. I don't know. It's like that Karo stuff or whatever. But high fructose corn syrup is attained by genetic modification. So that's something that needs to be avoided, and that's in everything. I mean, chocolate milk has chocolate and milk. There shouldn't be any corn involved in that, but somehow high fructose corn syrup is a main ingredient in chocolate milk. I mean, it's in everything. Coca-Cola, everything is high fructose corn syrup. In fact, if you really like, I've noticed that a lot of the soft drinks in Mexico, even Coca-Cola and other things that they have, are made of pure sugar. So if they have that Mexican section in your grocery store, a lot of those sodas are using sugar. So which is good that they're using sugar, but bad because the water from Mexico is probably not that great. There is very little to eat anymore at a grocery store. You can get the tuna situation or salmon in that little canned meat section. You can usually find wild-caught something. You have to read the directions on the back to find wild-caught tuna. Something I found, at Walmart, they have very cheap tuna, and the Walmart version of the tuna actually says wild-caught. That's one of the problems that I have with buying a lot of the different tunas is it doesn't say anywhere on it that it's wild-caught. Some of them do. Chicken of the Sea oftentimes will say wild-caught, and that way you know it's technically organic. You know, I mean, it's the best as we can hope for anyway, that it was caught in the sea, which is great. And so I would recommend that. It's cheap, and it's organic to a certain extent. So that's one of the last things that we have. You know, without actually going crazy, but I mean, it's at that point we have to really be concerned with it, because there may be something that they're changing our DNA with this stuff. I mean, you can't rule out anything anymore. We're under attack, absolute attack. And once they start regulating or making illegal organic food or making illegal the very things that we need, or bottled water, or doing something crazy to where we have to eat their poison, that's going to be like prison. I mean, that'll just turn us into what they want us to be. And we, you know, I mean, it's, they're making gardens illegal, you know, unless you have a certain amount of whatever, and they won't make them illegal probably, but you know, it's like in that Bob Dylan song, it's like your garden's illegal or something. I forget how you put it, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And other things to avoid, I guess, I don't know. I don't really even know. You can't find any juice that doesn't have, you know, I don't know, some version of either fluoride or high fructose corn syrup. You know, something I did find that I surprisingly am okay with is vitamin water. Usually I'd be like, I find something wrong with it, but it the water that it uses actually uses a reverse osmosis filtration process. This is one of the only ways to eliminate fluoride from municipal water. So it has fluoride-free water, or I don't know if I can go that far, but in the vitamin water. I don't know. The vitamins are probably synthetic and whatever. Again, I'm totally crazy and I'm rambling here. So I guess I'm really close to the end of the show. So, okay, before I go, let me remind you of a few things. You can go to nowheretorun.podomatic.com. And review the show notes. I'll try to link, and I do try to link the things that I talk about on that site. So nowheretorun.podomatic.com, and you can also get all the archives there. In addition, you can go to faithspeak.net and set up a page there, just like MySpace. It's set up by a guy named Frank, who also has a very similar podcast, Christian anti-New World Order situation, and it's called Salvation Revelation. You can go to that website as well. Remember, you can contact me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com and give me all your hate mail and challenge me in what I say, correct my mistakes, and remember to support this show via prayers, and I guess that's it. Remember, we are in the last days. We should start acting like it. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. Take it easy.